Welcome to Take the Red Pill,
where we explore the realities within our reality.
We are your hosts, David Deere
and Donald Dalton. We have something a little different for you tonight in this episode. We are going to record David giving me a tarot reading. We're doing this because David has a new type of reading that he would like to test out, and I always feel good to be a guinea pig, and I was like, no problem. And then we decided, why not just record it as part of the episode? So I'm going to let David explain a little bit more of what his reading entails. We'll just go from there.
I have a couple of go-to readings that I like to do. That is spreads. Specifically what we're talking about are spreads. I have a couple of go-to spreads that I like to do. And I also will make up spreads on the spot. That or I'll just kind of pre-plan a couple of spreads. Like I've had these spreads that were in specific shapes or just kind of had specific aspects of them that I just kind of look for. And I tend to just kind of wing it. When I was having people give me questions, sometimes the spread would be based on the question that they had. I don't know if you'll hear some shuffling sounds. Can you hear that?
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can? Okay. When I was talking to Donald, Donald and I were talking offline the last episode. We were just having a conversation, and I was just telling him how I had this brainstorm about doing a specific type of tarot spread. Now, I have used the 7-card chakra tarot spread before. It's not a new one for me. I've used it many, many times, which is just basically each card represents a chakra, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people use reversals and some people don't, and I tend not to use reversals in my readings. Every tarot reader is different, and some will tell you that their way is the right way. I say whatever's worked for you is the right way. And my right way has changed over time, too. You know, what was my right way is no longer my right way, and my right way will be different, you know, 5 years from now. I don't know. Anyway, what I like to do is I like to take my decks and I like to reset my decks. And there's a couple of ways you can do that. You can cleanse a deck a million different ways. And one of the things I like to do from time to time is put them in order. So I go through the major arcana and I go from 0 to 21. And then I do all the suits from ace to king. And that resets them. And also gets them all right set up again since I don't really use reversals. But what I like to do is I like to see if a card happens to be reversed. It does kind of point something out for me, you know. I think the cards speak well enough for themselves that they don't really need reversals. Some people live and die by them, and that's great. I mean, I've had great readings with that. But as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't really mean anything unless happens to be a little unusual. It's like, you know, a lot of people, if they're shuffling the cards and a card falls out, they say, pay attention to that card. And I'm a firm believer in that, you know, because I think everything kind of happens as it happens. One thing about doing the 7-card spread is the chakras, I like to do them. I used to do them kind of in a row horizontally, and I didn't like that because chakras run vertically up and down the body. And I was like, well, it takes up so any tarot reader will tell you, room is always an essence. You know, I've read on little, TV trays, and my God, you know, cards falling all over the place. But I thought, you know, to have the cards laid vertically and then going in a row takes up too much room. So I thought, well, why don't I do them horizontally? And then I thought, well, how do you know if something's reversed or not? And I thought, well, if they're faced to the left, it indicates something that's left oriented. If faced to the right, it's right oriented. And whatever the meanings for left and right might happen to entail. So I thought, hey, I was telling Donald about this, and Donald say, hey, let's try it. Okay. And so I'm like, okay, we'll try it.
And we were actually, I actually mentioned, hey, do you want to do this for this episode? And this was for the last, this is at the last pre-show. And you're like, I'm not quite ready at the moment. Like, cool, we'll set it for the next episode.
Yeah, I didn't get into my tarot reading zone. The interesting thing is what sprung out of that is Donald and I ended up talking about energy work and chakras and stuff like that, because this was a chakra reading spread. So this is almost pigtailing off of a little bit off our last episode, but we'll see where this goes, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm excited.
I'm using a deck. It's my go-to deck. I call it the Cosmic Tarot. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think I used this one when I read for you once before.
Okay. That's a pretty deck, if I remember it.
Oh, it's a gorgeous deck. I'm laying out the cards right now here. Okay, I've got 7 cards out, one for each major chakra.
Woohoo!
I'm going to start with just each chakra as I encounter it, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so the first one I come up with, this is going to be your root chakra, and your root chakra, I think, is root chakra is all about your survival and just about your connection to the earth,
mm-hmm.
and just about pure survival. Right now, I'm going to talk about your current state of the chakras, just okay. where they are right now. And this chakra is very, very well open. Not only is it very well open, but you are very connected to the earth. And there's a sense of groundedness about you that allows you to draw up all sorts of manifestation. I think you're when it comes to manifestation, that's your go-to chakra for that.
Ooh.
You're red. It's red generally. Your root chakra is very open, very alive, and the wellspring of your manifestation is what you're tapping into.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, the interesting thing about your manifestation is if you're blocked in your manifestation, it's because you're using too much clinical logic in your is that right? Yeah, I will say that. When you're using too much logic in your manifestation, when you're not allowing manifestation to happen, which is just kind of trusting your grounded earth, then I think you're going to start to see yourself blocked that way, if that makes any sense.
Kind of like being more pragmatic.
No, not necessarily pragmatic. What I'm saying more so is if you're not allowing, if you're forcing it,
when you force
your manifestation by saying, okay, by logic, I'm doing this and this and this, so this should work.
Gotcha.
That is it. It's not an intuitive process, and as a result,
push these buttons, get a result.
Right. It will close your natural ability. When you release and you're letting go, your creative ability really is strong there, which is just allowing yourself to just kind of be in connection to just that. That's where your grounding is. Your grounding is not a free and unfettered thing, but your grounding is just an allowing, just really residing in the moment.
Okay, cool.
Your next chakra, which is your sacral chakra, is very interesting because you're very enraptured by kind of beauty and inspiration. I think that's what's kind of tapping into your emotional body, your emotional self,
mm-hmm.
that you're almost mesmerized, I would say. You've become mesmerized by things that are, let me say, shiny and attractive. And so that chakra's really opened itself in that way. And interestingly enough, it kind of counterplays with your root chakra because you can float away that way. To open up that chakra is to really just allow, not to be like a moth to a flame of these kind of like little shiny little trinkets, but more just to kind of appreciate the beauty of it being part of your world rather than, ooh, it's beautiful, I must have it. You know what
gotcha.
I mean?
Gotcha.
It's like seeing a big diamond ring on, if you were into diamond rings, it's like seeing something beautiful and luxurious, like a car that somebody has and you saying, okay, I appreciate that car and it's great that they have it, rather than going, ooh, if I want it, you know? I think jealousy could get in your way in that by coveting something that somebody else has.
Mm-hmm.
So when your chakra's open, you'll really be able to see the beauty of life and have a lot of gratitude in that. When it closes, I think then you'll start to see aspects of jealousy come out. So if you find yourself jealous, look at that. Look at your second chakra.
And you said that one shows that my sacral chakra is more open.
Yeah, it looks pretty open. It looks pretty open right now. So
I like
don't
the
see.
Shiny.
Yeah, yeah. The shiny, like it from a distance, like it from afar. But I think if you do, you really can appreciate its beauty more. So you don't have to have it to appreciate it. When you find yourself in that place, and it looks like you are right now, your chakra, it looks like it's pretty open. So that's where I think you probably are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then you go up to your power chakra.
Ooh, power.
The power chakra, this is an interesting one because your power chakra might be a little closed. I think this one might be a tad bit closed. And I say that because when you claim your power chakra, you really kind of, you have your feet firmly on the ground in a way. When I say power, if somebody in any martial arts or in any stage combat or anything like that, in football, they even teach you, keep your feet shoulder width apart.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone comes at you, then it's harder for you to knock down rather than when your feet are together. And if you have one foot on the ground, well, forget it. And it could take, you know, just like two fingers to push you over. And you might be having one foot kind of up in the air quite a bit of the time. Hmm. Is spending a lot of time in kind of the dreamy place can leave you ungrounded, and you can actually give away your power. And not that it's not healthy to dream, because I think it's very healthy to dream. But I'm saying that your power, your personal power in this reading might be compromised by having a little bit of a kind of a dreamy effect. And here's what I think happens here, Donald. And this is me being kind of blunt in the readings.
Okay.
I know you're Scorpio, and I think this might be a Scorpio thing too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you feel like you're confidence is dropping, you'll start to escape. You'll go into escapism.
Hmm.
And when you see yourself going into escapism, this is an opportunity for you to say, all right, where's my strength? Where's my strength of getting lost? Because I kind of want to be in the dream world, because the dream world helps me not have to do the work that's required for me to have the groundedness and the confidence that I have. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, and these all kind of tie together in a way. They one play off another. Now, when you go into your heart chakra, and I find this really, really interesting the way this is coming out, your heart chakra is kind of, it's kind of in a neutral place. It's not open. It's not closed. It's not wide open, but it's not closed. So it's actually in a good place. And I think if you are, again, we're talking about taking in the moment. I'm a big advocate of that, of course, but taking a respite and not really taking any intense actions right now is kind of going to keep your heart chakra right in this place, because that's kind of where you can afford to be right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say this is because that creative part of you, that part, and the creativity is really tied to your root chakra. There's massive amounts of manifestation and creation there. However, manifestation and creation is all in the art of allowing something to take the course of time. Sometimes you can take too much action on something, and what you could do is you can beat it into the ground, and you can misshapen it and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with in this case, for you, your heart chakra, which is tied to your what you can have to give and what you can have to your emotional connection to other people, you don't have to put yourself out there to so many. Now I'm understanding this okay. Now. You don't have to put yourself out there to everybody right at once to feel like you can just kind of let it sit still, let yourself be still in your heart, and be able to reserve what is for yourself. You see what I'm saying?
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Okay. Now that I understood that, sometimes the cards, I have to kind of let them steep, you know, brew a little bit.
Like a good tea.
Like a good tea, exactly. And your third chakra, your sacral chakra, and your heart chakra are going to all really linked here, you know. And I'll go into that. I just want to go one by one right now.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to your throat chakra,
mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is that I'm going to say your throat chakra is overactive. It's overactive in a way that it's working against you. Your throat chakra is all about self-expression, right?
Mm-hmm.
And communication and expression. And I think it's to the point where you're working so hard to express yourself that you're actually doing the opposite.
Oh, yeah.
You're actually impeding your own sense of expression by trying too hard to express who you are, to try too hard to be who you are. You don't have to try to be who you are. You are who you are. But that comes from a place of self-doubt. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and that actually, that makes an enormous amount of sense, because for the past little while, it's kind of like, well, like what you said, the projects that I have working on, it's like, force the creativity. Start now. Flip the switch. Go, go, go.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And this is again tied to your creativity. You used to write music. Did you ever try to write a song when you weren't feeling the muse?
Yeah, I don't play those. I never did. I wrote them, and I have, that was it. After they were written, I put them away in the notebook, and that's where they've been since then.
Yeah, they just felt kind of prefab, didn't they?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and this is what this is talking about. Your throat chakra is overactive, and it needs to be actually tightened down and closed a little bit, and you need to kind of preserve that sense of expression so that you can kind of reconnect with yourself. Because right now you're giving it all away. That's mm-hmm. what's going on here. You're giving so much of it away. You're losing yourself in that. You're losing sight of yourself in that.
Gotcha.
You can't really lose yourself, but you can lose sight of yourself.
Kind of like
that makes
the
sense.
Fog is coming around, so I can't see the lighthouse.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You're not seeing the lighthouse, or you're not seeing the lighthouse for the fog. The fog is kind of enclosing everything in.
Gotcha.
And interestingly enough, it's you are, as far as your third eye goes, I mean, you're a highly intuitive person, and what this is also a chakra that is, I'm going to say this chakra is in flux.
Hmm.
It's opening, it's closing, it's opening, it's closing. It's so it's overactive, it's underactive, it's overactive, it's underactive. And it's this yo-yo where your intuitive abilities, it's like my intuitive abilities are spot on and I need to jump with every single one of the intuitions I get. And then you're like, well, wait a minute, my intuitions, why am I in this weird place? I don't really understand it. It's like you're fighting your own intuition, if that makes any sense.
Actually, that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, it does. Okay, yeah. Good, good. Intuition by its own nature has everything to do with trust. You have to trust it. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you don't trust it. You trust it, but you don't trust the results of it. I think that's the best way of putting it.
And that goes back to the, I think, was that the root chakra, the sacral chakra, where you said having difficulty or seeing things very logically?
Oh, right. Yeah. Where was that? I'm trying to remember.
I think it was the second or third.
Yeah, it was. Actually, it was your sacral chakra. Your sacral, no, not your sacral, your third chakra.
Gotcha.
Your power chakra.
Power chakra. Power.
Right, exactly. I don't remember what I said.
I remember. And it's recorded.
Oh, that's good. That's the benefit of recording, right?
Basically, you had said being too logical, not allowing the naturalness to flow.
Yeah, it's forcing it. That's what I was saying. It was about it's kind of more about forcing it rather than just allowing it. There's a few things that indicate that. And then your seventh chakra, which is your crown chakra, that one
is bright and shiny. I don't know.
Let me think on this for a second. Okay, now I understand. There's a theme in these cards. The theme I'm seeing here in these cards is your sense of self-expression. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, that 5 out of 7 of your cards are pointed to the right, and the right is all about intuition, and it's about creativity and things like that. Right-brained, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your left is more about logical and being very – having order. And the theme that I'm seeing in your reading here is that, yeah, you're – of course, you're a highly intuitive person, and you do work with that a lot. But it seems like it's almost like you're pushing that part of yourself so far to the point where it's almost counterproductive. It's almost like forcing it. Like, for example, mediums.
Mm-hmm.
They say, oh, I want to talk to my grandfather, and there's no guarantee your grandfather's coming through. A medium is like, whoever comes through. And intuitive work is the same way. Whatever comes with intuitive work. And it's just a matter of just kind of allowing it to come, but being open to it. And what happens, I think, here is your chakras, there's a few of them that are open, and oddly enough, instead of having some closed, there are some that are very overly open because you're putting so much part of your body energy in, and your mental and physical energy into those chakras,
mm-hmm.
More mental than physical, I think, that it's overstimulating them. And what's happening is you're kind of, it'll create a crash eventually when your chakras can't stay open that long without recharging.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the gist of the reading that I've gotten there.
Wow. Yeah. I was being very specific into not make comments of positive or negative reads as you're going through those.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Except for one.
You know, to be honest with you, I don't care what you think because it's the cards that I'm listening
yeah.
to.
Yeah, but except for one, I think I did. But that's pretty much where I find myself right now. For what you said, I would say definitely spot on. There are a lot of, there is currently at like the last week or two, you know, a little bit of conflict between the intuition and the logical steps. Like, okay, well, I should do this to do this so I can get to this, so I can get to this, so I can have that. And then, the intuition is saying, dude, whenever you've done that in the past, it never works out, or it rarely works out. What you found over the past few years is when you follow your intuition, that makes sense. And so it's like, well, my intuition is saying this. Well, then that's a good way to go. Then my logic comes and says, there's no steps there. There cannot be success if there's no plan, and there's no plan. It's just going and like, ah!
Yeah,
so
that, exactly.
That is definitely a big part of what's going on right now. So I would say, yeah, definitely spot on. And you mentioned the heart chakra being very kind of neutral at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
That makes total sense, too, because one of the things I discovered, over the past year, is I was giving too much of my, I'm going to say, heart chakra energy away to people and not keeping enough for myself. And so one way that I found to do that is to find the zero point, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
With my compassion and everything, and especially working with clients so that I don't get drawn into the drama and, you know, become ineffective as, you know, for the work that I do. So developing that very neutral compassion was extremely important.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a tricky thing to do. Anytime you're doing that kind of work, anytime you're doing this kind of work is that, you know, interestingly, when I do tarot readings, what I found really interesting, and I'm gonna kind of demonstrate this. What has been the most frustrating? What really frustrated you when I did this reading, if anything? Is there anything that you heard in the reading that just made you go, I don't like that, or I don't agree with that, or anything like that?
Actually, when you said that my fifth chakra, my throat chakra, was too way open.
Okay.
That one, I was just like, argh. That clicked on all the buttons that you were referring to in the other stuff of, you know, trying to go through logical step, but also following your intuition and that, and being part of expression. It's like, well, most of what I do has to do with expression. So that would definitely be the one that was just like, okay.
Well, and you know, it seems to me, and I could be wrong on this, but it seems to me that overstimulated chakras are a little bit harder to deal with than understimulated chakras.
Uh-huh.
Understimulated chakras, then your body takes it on and goes, all right, now you're sick here, or you're uncomfortable here, or you're injured here. Your overstimulated chakras, that's kind of what happens with me with my third eye.
Mm-hmm.
My third eye gets overstimulated because my third eye is lit up a lot. It's just, I can feel that. It's just this kind of radiance, this heat, this kind of, I can't describe it very well, but I feel the energy of my third eye going a lot. When it's overstimulated, which it gets pretty easily, I just get this thick, really dull, it's not a headache, but it's what I would call a precursor to a headache.
Mm.
It's just this dull, thick headache, which I was listening to some podcasts and it had a lot of interesting intuitive stuff I was really picking up on and just really being able to learn to connect with my intuition and stuff. And I'd been listening to it for days since Monday. And then here it is Thursday. And all of a sudden I was just, oh, God. I was listening to it and I felt myself reach down to my iPod and turn it off.
Oh.
I stopped. I had to. And I was getting that thick feeling. And in the past, I used to get this kind of thing, but I want to learn more. I want to learn more. I want to learn more. And my body and my chakra was going, stop. You can't learn anymore. There's nothing more you can gain right now. And in fact, if you try to, we're going to shut it down for you. So there you are.
Yeah, it's kind of like the reactor is overheating. We need to cool it down a little bit and, you know, bring it down to a different level or different energy level so that we can let the cooler actually take the cool out.
Right, exactly. But the thing is our enthusiasm sometimes fuels that. And I think that sometimes it's enthusiasm or it's fear. It's this glut of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's when something's not moving, at least you know what to do to get it to move. You know, it might take a lot more effort to move a car that's not moving. You know, you just have to push and you have to get six friends to help you push.
Mm-hmm.
But when your car is going too fast and your brakes are not working, it's harder to stop a car that's going fast than it is to move a car that's stopped. You know what I mean? And I think that's what the overstimulated chakras are like. And you're a very, like you said, you're a very expression-oriented person. You're very communicated-oriented. And so it's like, how do you figure out how to turn on the brakes?
It's like, yeah, hello, my name is Donald, nice to meet you. And everyone would be like, are you having a bad day? You're normally so animated.
You know, what I got from what you're saying here, and this is kind of more intuition than it is the cards, but they're tied together, never mind. The cards were talking about this too. When you said, hello, my name is Donald, what are people going to think, you know, that I'm going to be kind of under-communicating? Remember when I talked about in the reading how you were overselling yourself?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, what are people going to think? Are they going to think that I'm depressed or something like that? You know what? Who cares? So you're on this dynamo, like, you know, I want to make sure that people understand that I'm okay. Da, 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 da. You know what? It doesn't matter. You know, they're gonna go about their lives after they're done asking you if you're okay, with all due respect to other people. Not to say they don't care, because they do. Mm-hmm. But nobody can do anything about you. And they know that. And it's, you know, you want to do something about them doing something for you. And it's kind of it's crazy making at that point.
Oh, yeah. And that makes perfect sense, especially from a lot from my past that I'm still working through and working on at the moment. So, I mean, I was just like, yeah, okay, yeah. Overexpression. Got it. Okay, don't be overexpressive. Okay, shift completely. Oh, wait, you know, there's a gray area that we're not finding here. We're going from the complete, from one end to the complete end of the opposite end. Without finding the balance in the middle.
Right, yeah, that's always the tricky part, you know. I think that's why the intuition is, you know, overactive, underactive. You know, and I was reading these cards here, and I noticed that five of them are pointed to the right, and two of them are pointed to the left. And at first, you know, I'm experimenting with the idea of what's left versus right, and I was kind of stuck going, okay, does one direction mean closed and the other one mean open? It doesn't work in this reading. So to me, it says to me in this reading that pointing to the left is the left archetype, and pointing to the right is the right archetype, and whatever that represents. Left being maybe masculinity, right being femininity, left being, of course, you know, all the stuff that we said before. And I think that works pretty well because it gives an extra layer to this meaning.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't tell me whether they're open or closed. Actually, I had to intuit that, which a lot of times when I'm reading the cards, you know, the cards will tell me one thing, but all the other rich, good stuff just comes intuition, you know.
Oh, yeah. So out of curiosity, which two cards are pointing to the left?
The first and the third chakras.
Ah.
We're pointing to the left.
That makes sense.
Now, but the thing is, and here's the thing that's interesting when we're talking about intuition versus rational mind, mm-hmm. intuitive mind or creative mind versus rational and logical mind, is that for people who are intuitive, we think, oh, logical mind? Yeah. Well, but the logical mind has a very, very right purpose. If we went by intuition all the time, we couldn't survive in this world. Oh, there's just no way we could. There was a guy who lost all, I have to look at this for the show notes, use of his left brain.
Oh, wow.
He had suffered some kind of damage, and he only had right brain use. And he said it was bliss. It was pure bliss. He said he lived in bliss. But he couldn't communicate with anybody.
Mm.
People thought he was in a coma. People thought he was in some kind of, you know, catatonic state or something to that degree, because he had no way of communicating with anyone. He only understood language. He understood the metaphor language, but he didn't understand the practical use of language, you know.
Oh, yeah. And that, I'll admit, is one of the things that I has been an issue for me for a long time, is the competition that I have internally between my intuition and my logic. Mm-hmm. And when it's interesting when you said, you know, your intuition is kind of like, I'm open, I'm closed, I'm open, I'm closed, I'm open.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's like, that's almost like me on a regular basis. I'm open. Okay, we're looking at intuition. We're closed. We're analyzing with our logic. We're open. Okay, we're not worrying about logic. We're, you know, just, you know, getting the information from our intuition.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, there's times for that. It's like, and the direction the cards point, I think, it says, all right, what are we speaking to here? Are we speaking to the intuition, or are we speaking to the logical mind? And what's driving this particular card? And I think that was the case with your third chakra is pointed to the left, one of the only ones. So it was telling me that it was speaking to the logical mind, and that was that whole kind of escapism card, you know, yeah. Giving your power away.
I was talking to our guest, Chessie, that we had in a few episodes back, and she put it in such a succinct way that I absolutely loved, where we were talking about following our intuition, but the term she used is our biology got in the way. What she was referring to that was kind of like, you know, our intuition is, this is right, this is the path to go, this is inspiration is taking us here, and I can see good coming from it. But then our biology, our fears, you know, our anxieties, our, you know, past experiences where similar stuff did not work out, and it's just like biology has a difficult time of getting through to that point to take action on the inspiration that is coming from our intuition. And I was just like, Chessie, that is just really an awesome way to put it. I love it.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So I could definitely see a little bit of that going on too. And I think that I think that happens for everybody to some degree in different areas of their life.
What's that?
The competition between following their intuition and inspiration and getting held back, getting in their own way with their anxieties and fears.
Yeah, I think it's difficult for people to discern. Or, you know, in this society, we're very left-brain society, and our intuition's not been taught to run free and unfettered and naked in the fields. Mm-hmm. Our intuition is something to be suspected. And I posted on Facebook that quote from Einstein. I can't remember what it was. Intuition versus the rational mind. And again, you know, people in our circle, we tend to oversell intuition at the same time. But the funny thing is I think because we're in this society that we're in, we are very fond of our intuition, but we still try to put logic on our intuition. Like here you are talking about, let's see here. You'd said, well, I'm using my intuition and kind of following that and following that and following that, and I have to have all these things in this order. Well, once the word order comes up, it's no longer right brain thinking. You know, exactly. So we're trying to apply left brain thinking. But, you know, there's times where it's like, my stomach's growling. Let me see what my intuition says about that. Okay. There's times that, no, you just got to go for logic and order. There's just times for logic and order. There's times that, you know, things need to be put in round objects need to be put in round holes and square objects in square holes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about whatever the intention is. And I think once you set your intention, intuition is kind of like, I don't know, intuition is a way of being able to kind of find your way in the dark, mm-hmm. right? But at the same time, if you're using your intuition on a sunny day to try to find your way in the dark, then that doesn't really make any sense.
You're kind of wasting your time.
Yeah, you're wasting your time. So what was your thoughts on my experiment here? I mean, like I said, I've done chakra readings before, but the left and the right thing.
I found it very interesting. I have to admit, this is the second reading that I've gotten from you since I've known you, and I think the first one was a little over a year ago. The readings I get from you are just put things in a very interesting perspective for me that I normally don't see myself, or I have more difficulty seeing myself. I'll say it that way.
And oh, good.
The way that you put this down with the left and right, facing left and facing right, my logical brain loves that because I have a base belief that whatever comes up in the cards within the protocols of what we've set up before we pull the cards, then that is what you're meant to hear and see. And right. So my logical brain says, that came up. Ah, very good. I understand. This left, okay, this goes here, this goes there. Okay, this information I can make sense of. Believing that information with a basis in belief of the intuition naturally, and understanding how divination works in general, very, very good reading. And
thank you.
There have been readings in the past, I think I mentioned it in our divination episode, where I was just like, you're lost. You're just you're just trying, and you're not winning. You're failing. Like I said earlier, this being our second reading that you've given for me, and I thank you for that. It's definitely a good different perspective on kind of what I've been able to see for myself.
You know, I think it's interesting these kind of readings too, the chakra tarot readings, because a lot of times we just give the base meaning to the chakra, but we're not really tying very easily what the chakra is doing as far as what kind of effect it really has. I mean, we know, okay, well, if I don't, you know, if I'm feeling, I should open up my third chakra if I'm feeling a little powerless. Well, it's all well and good, but I think there's such a play. I think that opening our chakra can help us in those challenging areas in our life, but also working on those challenges helps to open the chakra.
Oh, yeah.
It's a back and forth thing. It's kind of like what they say about anybody who's into energy healing. Says, okay, well, do the energy work to help loosen up the areas, and now do the mental work or do the head work to help your body kind of, you know, take the pressure off the work that your body's trying to do to give you this message, you know.
Oh yeah, and what I'm running into more and more now with the people that I'm working with is, you know, there's an issue that has been with somebody for so long that it has become so natural to them. It's a part of them. It's almost as integrated into their who they are, as the, you know, they have arms and legs and, you know, this and that, and eyes and nose and mouth and everything. You know, removing the energetic blocks, sure, you can do that, you know, from here to Sunday, and but if you don't put something else back into that energetic area that is different, then the actions that come from that will never change. And there's that action of sometimes people want to fool themselves and be like, okay, I've made changes. Everything's good. I'm going to go to the gym every day, or, you know, three times a week this year because it's New Year's and this is my resolution. And 2 months later, it's like, I'm not going to the gym. The road that they're on has so much momentum that it's so hard to switch off and change a little bit. And so I think I'm starting to babble a little bit too much, so I'm going to throw it back.
No, actually, what you're saying makes a lot of sense. What I hear you saying is that people start to develop these patterns and these habits, these routines, that the routines are so much easier to stay in and so much harder to break out of, despite what little, even when people, when they talk about creative visualization, it's one thing to say, okay, here's what I want in my life. I'm going to do a little bit of visualization and I'm going to release it, and have the faith or the confidence or the trust that I'm going to have that. That's all well and good, but that's a stuff thing. When you're not dealing with a stuff thing, we're dealing with more of what you're talking about is how we inherently see ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I am this kind of person. And when we've got a routine, the routine is because we've defined ourselves that way for so long that we're in that routine, that we're in that way, that we have to actually make a habit and an active effort of actually being to ourselves that different person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And like you talk about, and like I talk about, is igniting the fire of emotion. Like I say, the emotions come before the physical, not vice versa. The emotions, when you feel the emotion of what it is like to be that different person, then it's easier to create that resonance and to attract the things that have you become that different person.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, the emotion is like a bushfire in you know your routines that you've set up over your lifetime, whether they be good, bad, or indifferent. And the emotions get strong enough and they can just like be like a fire that just burns through those and leaves the field open for new growth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to use your mind and your thoughts and your consciousness to decide, what am I going to grow here?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So I am curious, though, with the reading, was it different? Was the reading a little odd for you, or was it pretty normal? Or how was the experience from your perspective of being the reader in this reading?
Oh, that's a good question. It was different taking into, of course, I had a new element to take into account with a different type of reading, with this chakra reading. Mm-hmm. It was interesting to watch. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be redundant here because each card after the other card started talking about the same thing. And I'm like, well, then there's a reason it's talking about the same thing, you know. There's all sorts of changes that it's been pointing at here in this reading, because I'm looking at the patterns here. It is an interesting pattern because I look at the patterns on the cards. One, for example, is you have one five after another five. There's two fives stacked on top of each other. Oh. But you also have five cards pointing to the right.
Oh, 555.
Yeah, and so it's like, okay, well, let's talk about the fives, you know. So the five is obviously, well, not obviously, it depends on how numerologically oriented you are, but the fives talk about change, about struggle, about things in flux, about challenges. And so it's just interesting that to see that in to see the patterns unfold. As it, what was interesting is that what I was going to do is read each chakra at a time and then start tying everything together, but it just started tying itself together as I started going up each chakra, which is kind of interesting the way chakras work anyway, because chakras, I think, always are kind of, I see the way chakras operate in a body as a cone shape. You know, it's kind of narrow at the middle and then it kind of gets broader as it goes up. Not energy wise, not size wise, but to me just kind of symbolically.
Well, yeah, and I think most people, when they start doing energy work and start learning about the chakras, they start seeing the chakras as each chakra as an individual island out in the sea all by itself, and one has snow and one is tropical and one's more of a desert. And it takes a little bit more of time working with them when you actually start to realize they're all connected. Mm-hmm. You know, one chakra can affect the other and has influence on this one. And, you know, it's not a matter of, well, is this chakra affecting this one? No, it's not so much a matter of that as it is which chakra has the most influence on the other one, meaning that they have, like, you know, a hotline to one each other. You know, it's like, stuff is happening. I know. Did you see that? I totally did.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. They're in constant communication, like you said.
Whereas, you know, some other chakras, you know, they'd be like, you have to get the Pony Express guy to get up there and take a horse across, you know, a few hundred miles. And like, the message will get there eventually.
Yeah, I mean, if the chakra's operating as an island, that should tell you something.
Oh, yeah. You know, I also want to make a point that for those that don't know a lot about chakras, they can change so quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, this reading, you know, is just for, like, right now. We could do this reading tomorrow night, and it could come out completely different.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Or we could do this, or we could do the reading in a month, and who knows, it might be the same thing. It means I'm not working on my stuff.
Well, different things will happen in a month. It's just going to bring out different things, you know. If you're not working on your stuff a month later, you're probably going to have some, it's not going to be, the symptoms are not going to be the same. I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
There's going to be other things because you know how life is. Life is like, we got to find another way of getting this message to this guy because he's not getting it. You know, that's the way it works with all of us. We all have those kind of weird little, you know, I call it the escalation symbols and signals.
Oh yeah. We talked about that. Do you remember what episode we talked about that in?
I do remember talking about it, but I'm trying to remember what episode we did talk about it in. We talked about how you get a sign for something and then you keep getting more and more signs until, was it the intuition?
It might have been.
It might have been. The escalation of DEFCON, pay attention to now.
Yeah, and if you keep ignoring it and like, okay, here's the neon sign. Oh, hey, look at that bright sign. Oh, well, I'm busy doing other stuff. And then you get bonked over the head and like, okay, finally, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. And some people don't. And, you know, it just leads them down whatever path they need to be led down.
Exactly.
So, yeah, this was a really interesting experiment. I really appreciate you being a participant and just kind of watching how this left-right thing goes. And the left and the right gave a whole different dimension on the chakra reading. It was really interesting to kind of to see it read in that way as opposed to the usual, well, this is the chakra and this is the chakra. And it was all based because I wanted more room on my spread.
Yeah. Well, when you were describing it to me before in our pre-show for the previous episode, I was just like, "Oh, that sounds really cool." I never thought about doing, left and right to be the left and right side of the hemispheres of the brain, and more logic and more intuition and stuff like that. And I think some of our mutual friends had mentioned that. Did you know that you could use tarot readings to do your online gaming characters and stuff like that? You could do readings for them too.
Oh, sure. I could see that.
And I was like, that is so cool. And I think that got us into the whole topic of, how many different ways can we be creative with our tarot readings? And you're like, left and right. Like, left and right. That sounds cool. I would really like to see that.
There's all sorts of fun spreads to do. I'm a big advocate of making spreads up, but just as long as you understand what it is you're looking for the spreads to tell you. Sometimes I found that spreads have created themselves based on whatever the issue was. I tend to like to read blind. I don't really like to know what issue it is. Mm-hmm. But when I did readings in the past and people were like, okay, I want to know about this, I'd be like, all right, well, here's the spread that I think might work for that. And it would just kind of like unfold itself in a way. I mean, I'm a big fan of, knowing where the card is going to lay. I mean, there are people who just flip over cards one after another and say, all right, this is this, and this is this, this is this. And that's all well and good. It's kind of interesting to see what can be created off the fly.
Oh, yeah.
And just basically by what kind of reading. I like these chakra readings for general readings because obviously, did this reading kind of indicate something that's really at play in your life?
Oh, it was basically like taking a snapshot and, and saying, okay, these are the areas of your life that are, and this is what they're like at this point in time.
Now, was it the major players?
I would say it was, to put it in a different perspective, if my life was, a car sitting out in the driveway or the parking lot, this was basically taking a snapshot and saying, okay, it is this brand, it is this model, it has this type of paint on it. There's a little scuff over there in the back by the taillight. There's a little bit of leaves that have been blown onto the hood. It's basically taking a picture of this is where you are right now. This is how things are at that level. To me, it seemed very specific, because I know what areas those are referring to.
Yeah. And that's the thing about these blind readings. I think they're great at that. People are like, well, yeah, I'm coming into a reading and I want to know about my love life in the next 6 months. They sit down on that. And I've had cards tell me something else. I'm like, oh, no, I have to make this fit into a love life. and I'm like, but I'm not seeing that in the cards. I'm seeing this whole issue with, it's this family issue. But the funny thing is that my personal belief is that the cards tell you what you need to know. And a lot of times think that what's good for them is not, I'm just lonely. I want to be in a relationship. That's all well and good. But in a relationship, number one, you're probably not well equipped, especially if the cards are telling you something else. And number two, the cards are saying, you know what? You ain't getting a relationship till you fix this. So if you want a relationship, you better work on this other thing that's not necessarily this romantic relationship. And I think the cards will do that. The cards will always tell us what we need to hear rather than what we want to hear. And sometimes the things we don't want to hear is what the cards are going to tell you.
Oh, exactly.
Because it's a fact that you don't want to hear them that makes it kind of the necessary information.
Kind of like one of those signs of escalation. It's like, man, I keep trying to avoid this thing, and everywhere I go and everyone I talk to keeps putting it back in my face again.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's like there's a reason that we don't want to avoid it, right? And sometimes it's not just the fact that we don't want to avoid it. It's the fact of looking at what it is that's keeping us from looking at that issue.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That it's telling in and of itself.
Totally and completely. Well, David, I'd like to thank you again for allowing me to be your guinea pig in working with this left and right idea left and right tarot reading. And I found it very, very enlightening because I did see a different perspective than what I saw for myself. And so thank you very much.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks for being the guinea pig in this reading. I'm glad you got something out of it rather than just pure entertainment. Oh, look at this. So
I got entertainment out of it too, David.
Oh, good. Good. I like that. It's kind of like it's a twofer deal, I'd say.
Exactly.
Cool.
Yeah. Two ducks with one shot.
That's right.
That's a John Denver song got or something like that. No, it was took two shots, got no ducks, cold, cold hands.
You know, you've been living in Virginia too long, because I've never heard of any such a song. If I go to Eastern Washington, they'd probably say, oh, yeah, yeah, I know that song.
It's a John Denver song.
Oh, it's John Denver. Okay.
Well, yeah. So I was raised on it. That's what my mom listened to a lot when I was younger. So.
Cool.
So anyway, we would like to take this opportunity to thank all of our listeners for popping in and listening to what David and I have to say. So for TakeTheRedPillPodcast.com, I am Donald Dalton, having been happily read.
And this is David Deere. Spread your joy.